Amen. Amen. Just remain standing, if you will. Be turning to Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter 4 for our text we've been in for some time now. We're working towards the end. Amen. By the way, while you're turning, let me mention this. We sang that song, Come and Dine. That is the theme song for Brother Ricky Cawthorn. And he does have a new program on WSOF. He's weekday, Monday through Friday in the morning time. But on Saturday now at 1:30 p.m., right before Brother Harold Seitler, Brother Ricky comes on. He's been doing that this whole month. But I haven't mentioned it. Wanted to give a plug there since we sang that song. Amen. That he's coming on here, and he's allowed me. Then I've got a broadcast on both of his stations in Dobson and in Sparta now on Saturdays at 4:30 on one of them, 5:30 on the other. I believe it is. I believe that's right. And so anyway, remember that and tune in if you can there to him on Saturday afternoons at 1:30 there. It'll be a blessing to you. Amen. Amen. Something else. I mentioned that we're working towards the end here in Matthew chapter 4, the end of our study on this. We've actually been longer than I anticipated being, but I thought that I might be close to finishing up today or next Sunday, and God gave me another thought yesterday, just a whole new, and it's opening up. I don't know which way we're going to go with that. But he's good at that, ain't he, Brother Bells? Seeing that in Sunday school, it's happening with him as well. But the Lord give us a thought, and we want to obey him. Amen? And want to give you that's encouraging to us. Matter of fact, if it helps me, it probably might have some help for you. Amen? And I hope that it does. So Matthew chapter number 4, and we'll begin reading verse 1, read down through verse number 11. We're concentrating today on those last two verses, verses 10 and 11. But Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Let's read verses 10 and 11 again and focus on those verses. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this time. Brother Bell, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we again thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be able to come to the house of God today.
Yes.
We open thy word again. In this hour, pray that you'll anoint Brother Shepherd from on high.
Help us, Lord. Yes.
All that you'd have him bring to us. And Lord, that you speak to our hearts. And may the Spirit of God have free course in every heart. I pray, Lord, for those that might be here or by way of radio that don't know you as their Savior.
Yes.
That today would be the day that they would do that. And Lord, that you'd convict them and draw them unto thee, that they'd be saved. And we ask and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Verses 10 and 11 deal with what I'll title today, the end of the conflict. We're looking at this final round of battle between Christ and Satan. in the wilderness of Judea. You notice that it's been moved three different times. It started in the wilderness, went up to the pinnacle of the temple in the holy city, and then went up into an exceeding high mountain. And just thought earlier this week about how that the devil must do that pretty regular. He did that with Balaam. When Balak wanted Balaam to curse Israel, he couldn't curse them in the first spot, so he moved them in another spot. He couldn't curse them in that spot, so he moved them in a third spot. And that might be a trick of the devil, maybe something that we could take notice of, that the devil is very, very shifty. If it doesn't work here, he'll try it over there. He'll try it one place and then another. But we saw our Lord successfully reject every avenue that the devil came, every direction that the devil came. We saw Christ reject every one of those attempts of Satan to bring Christ under the power of sin and under the authority of sin. Amen. And in our most recent study last week, we talked about the proposal that the devil made to our Lord, and how really we talked about the splendor of the offer and the audacity of the proposal. Interesting to me that it seems to me that there's two sins linked in that one. Shows him all the glory of the kingdoms of the earth in one moment, which would be towards a temptation towards the sin of covetousness. And he said, if you want this, and by the way, that's what covetousness is, it's wanting something. If you want this, you're going to have to pay the price. And the price you got to pay is idolatry. It's interesting to me that all through your Bible, covetousness and idolatry are linked. Paul says two times. He says in Ephesians chapter 4 or 5, and then in Colossians chapter 3, he says covetousness is idolatry. That's the word he said. One place he says that there'll be no coveters in heaven. That's in 1 Corinthians. He said the coveter, that's not the word coveter, but the one that has covetousness, he said, which is an idolater. So there it's linked a third time, as we see it is linked in the devil's sin. But here's what I thought about. This is just an introduction, but I thought about how the devil likes to hook sins together like a train. If he can get you to partake with one, then he's going to hook another on it. For example, a lot of times when somebody does wrong, you know what they do? To cover up their wrong, they lie. Two wrongs. Amen. And then after they lie about that wrong, then they lie again about the lie that they told, or they do other things. David, when he saw that naked woman, he should have stopped at that, but he didn't stop at that. There's another sin latched on to the lust that was there. There was the sin of adultery. But that didn't stop. When that came out, then when she became expecting with child, then, you know what he tacked onto it? Murder was tacked onto it. And you just go along. Sins tend to have more connected to it than just the one. But the devil likes to make you think that it's just the one. Somebody said, you let the snake's head in, the whole snake will be in. He's right about that. Amen. And that's how the devil works. Well, we talked about the splendor of the offer and the audacity of the request. Satan had, in this third account, Satan does not ask Christ, if thou be the Son of God. That's interesting to me that he doesn't. He did that in the first one. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. But in this third, he does not mention a question if Christ is truly the Son of God. It seems to me like he's not treating him as if he's the Son of God. He's treating him as if he's just a son of man. He's treating him as if he's like any other man. As we said last week, that there's the old saying, every man has his price. And that's what the devil was treating him like, any other man that would accept the offer of fame and fortune and power and might. Amen. But he proposes that he ought to bow down to the rule of Satan. Now, listen, this offer might have been enticing to most men. Amen. All the glitter and the glamour and the gold and the glory that was shown forth, brought to bear upon Christ might have been acceptable to a lot of men. But this proposal, bow the knee to Satan was not acceptable. It was utterly monstrous. Amen. We talked about last week about the claim that Satan said that he had all the kings of the world were his, and that he could bestow it upon whomsoever he will. I've thought about that some this week a little bit more than what I brought out last week. And here's, and I read different ones. Some people say that's exactly true. The devil has the world's in his hand. He's the god of this world. He's the prince of the air, as we used it last week. And the Lord called him the prince of this world in John three different times. The devil has great power in this world. But it's also true that God puts up and God disposes. Amen. That the powers that be are not ordained of Satan, but the powers that be are ordained of God. So how can it be that Satan says, I've got the power and I can give it to you if you'd like? This is the thought I had. Satan saying, you know, I'm a trickster and I tricked Adam out of the kingdoms of the world. I tricked Adam out of the dominion that God gave him, and I've done it to a lot of men. There's been a lot of men that God put them in a position. For example, I mentioned David. Who caused David to do that sin that he did? Well, in one sense, it was David himself. It's his own flesh. I understand that. But don't you know the devil was involved in that? Matter of fact, there's one time the Bible says that Satan put it into the heart of David to number the people. Who did that? The devil did that. He's trying to usurp that power. He's trying to pull the strings, and he's trying to get from behind the scenes. I believe that happens all across our land. And the devil's saying, listen, even if you are the Son of God, even if all the kingdoms are going to come to you, I've got a way that you can get it if you'll come my way. That's what bowing the knee to Satan is, by the way. It's coming his way, doing it like he wants it done, and he's offering that offer unto Christ. Amen. Well, we concluded last week with the scriptures that tell about the devil's total and eternal defeat. Amen. In the future, we read what Isaiah said. We read what the Revelation says. Amen. And about the defeat of Satan in the end. And I'm glad that is the case. Amen. We're serving a victorious Savior. Amen. And we're in a world that the devil is doing a lot, but he is a defeated foe. Amen. Amen. Notice that when Jesus heard this blasphemous counsel that the devil gave him, when he said, all this will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. When our Lord heard that, he did not hesitate to give his answer. He did not hesitate to call this devil by the name that he is. All the other times our Lord answered him as he would have answered any other man, as he would have answered any Pharisee, any Sadducee, any man with a question. Our Lord answered him with the scriptures, but in this case, he calls him what he is. He calls him Satan. All right. Look at it in verse number 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, before he says no, he says, get thee hence, Satan. He calls him what he is. He is the opposer. He is the adversary. He calls him by his name. He notices the great insolence of that devil. That you think about that, how that the devil could be so irreverent that he'd ask the very Son of God to bow to him. And Christ recognized that great sin of him and called him by his name. Amen. And he spoke to him, I believe, with a stern denouncement. And there was no question as to which side the Lord was on. Amen. Who was it? I heard somebody the other day preaching, and it might have been at that meeting in Mississippi. I believe it was. It might have been Brother Kirkman telling about it. This fella, one Sunday morning, he got up and was gone. His wife noticed he's gone early. Later he comes back and she says, where have you been? He said, well, I decided to go to church this morning. She said, you went to church? She said, what did the preacher preach about? And he said, well, I don't know. He didn't ever say. He never did get around to saying what he was preaching about. Well, that could be the case sometimes. But our Lord didn't beat around the bush. Our Lord made an unequivocal no, is what he said. I'm not going that route. Get out of my way. Get out of my sight. That's what he's saying to the devil in this case. So he said, get thee hence, Satan. Amen. And so our Lord sternly denounced such iniquity. I believe there was horror, there was disgust in our Lord's voice when He made that. When He saw all those images that the devil had brought up, and then he brought out that fiery dart and tried his best to attack our Lord with it, the Lord immediately threw up His shield of faith and used the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to deflect that. Amen. Now, when Christ spoke His answer to the devil's blasphemy, He spoke powerfully. He spoke as the Son of God. Amen. Not as some weakling, but as the only begotten Son of God. And when He said that, what He said, the old serpent had to obey. Amen. Christ was not going to bow to Satan, but Satan would have to bow to Christ. Amen. And so the devil was, if you want to say, stricken to the ground. He was smitten to the ground. He is a knockout punch. That's how Lester Roloff said Jesus. He said the devil went three rounds with Jesus in the boxing match in the wilderness and said Jesus threw three punches from the King James Bible and it totally KO'd the devil. Amen. 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 Well, the battle was ended, and that's what I want to think about just a little bit this morning. The battle was ended. Our Lord, the Lamb of God, still stood pure, still stood spotless, still stood sinless. Amen. Even though He had been tempted in all manner like as we are, yet without sin, thank God, He still stood boldly in obedience and in faith. Amen. Our Lord stood His ground. And so I'll say this, that this account is recorded for us, that it might give us hope, that it might cause us, maybe it ought to cause us to praise our Lord like He's worthy of being praised. Amen. Because of what He has done, He deserved for all His accomplishments to be praised. But it's also written for our instruction. It's written to teach us, because we're going to face the same devil. We're going to face some of the same difficulties, and so we need to know how to stand, and our Lord showed us that. So I want to look at these verses. I want to point out three things this morning by the help of the Lord that I want you to think on. I want you to put on your thinking cap and think with me this morning. First of all, I want you to think about how this temptation comes to God's children. Not just to Christ, but how it comes to you and I. Now, we've already looked about how that the devil is able sometimes to bring things to us in a moment's time. He brings the glory out, is what he brings forth. For example, when the devil tempts you to some sin, whatever it is, whatever the sin is, he shows you the pleasure, the pleasurable moments instantly. He doesn't show you the hard work to get there. He doesn't show you the difficulties after that. He doesn't show you all the problems and the pains. He just shows the glory of it in a moment. Amen. And so he shows us as that the kingdoms of the world in a moment, just in a moment, all that success, that's what he shows you, is the success that's going to be found there in that moment of time. He offers these temptations to the sons of men. Amen. And if we're not careful, even though we'd say the most holy among us have to be conscious of the fact that there are moments when we are weak. Our flesh is weak. The Spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. And the devil may very well tempt us in that moment. And so we've got to ask God to give us strength. We've got to ask God to help us stay in the way and to stay faithful unto Him, not just on Sunday morning, but on Sunday night, Monday morning, Monday night, right down the week. Amen. We need the help of God day by day, because the devil may attack at any moment, and he's watching for a weakness, is what he's watching for. Amen. And so the devil whispers in our mind, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. All this pleasure, all this worldly applause, all this glitter and gold, all this power and authority we can have, he says, if in turn we'll turn aside from the will of God and go the way of the devil. Bow our knees to the homage of the devil. Amen. There have been some great men of the past that have done that. Again, I mentioned David, and I don't like to just bring up the sins of the patriarchs, but David faltered in his leadership. David was a great king, a man after God's own heart. But he had a fall, and that fall was a great fall. That fall was a terrible fall. Amen. What happened? He was tempted in a moment of weakness, and he yielded. Amen. He yielded to that temptation. Noah, in our Sunday school lesson, we talk about Noah. Great man. Look at the great things said about him. He made it to Hebrews chapter 11. Praise God. Hey, Peter talked about it. He said it this morning. Peter said that he was a preacher of righteousness. Had that, but he had a failure in his life. Had a moment of weakness in his life. And the devil took advantage of that moment of weakness. And he'll do the same to you and I if we are not careful. So I'm saying this. I'm saying when somebody sins, we ought to be careful not to jump on and put our foot on top of them.
Right.
Ought to be careful not to be so hard on them, realizing we're made out of the same flesh they are. As one saying said down through the years, there go I, but by the grace of God.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Could be you or I that falls in that. I doubt, be honest with you, I doubt any of us are of the caliber of praise as David was.
Right.
Amen. And so we ought to pray as our Lord taught us to pray. Lord, lead us not into temptation. Amen. Lord, lead us not into temptation. Don't leave me when the tempter comes, but help me to stand in the power of our Lord. Amen. So our Lord had escaped all these temptations without a mark and without a scar. Amen. Why? Because there was nothing in Him. There was nothing in Him to want to listen to the devil. There's nothing in Him to want all those things that was offered unto Him. But we've got to be careful lest those feelings and desires are still in us. We ought to ask God to help us die to the old man. Amen. Die to the flesh. Be nailed with Christ on the cross. That on the cross we can be crucified with Christ. Amen. Nevertheless, we could live, yet not us that's doing the living, but Christ, amen, that lives in us. That ought to be our desire. And so I say this, although we are prone to fall, although it is possible for us to fall, we do not have to fall. I have to make that statement over and over again. I believe it needs to be made. Some people have the idea, well, everybody's going to sin a little, so you might as well just do it and get it over with. That is foolishness. That is laughable. Amen. It is. It is. Amen. But it seems like people have that idea. Can I say this? We can come forth victorious.
Amen.
Amen. We can follow our Lord successfully. Amen. We have the same weapons that our Lord used in this wilderness of temptation. Amen. We have the same weapons, and by the way, they still work against the devil. Amen. That's why the devil's trying to get people to quit using their Bible, because it still works. That's why he wants to get people to quit praying for their children. Because it still works.
Amen.
That's why the devil's saying you ought to just quit church. You ought to just go the way of the world. I tell you why. Because it still works when you go God's way. Amen. We can come forth victorious. We can have faith in God's promises. Amen. We can have faith in God's protection. We can have faith in God's provision. Amen. Our Lord had that faith. Here I am starving in the wilderness, but before I listen to the devil, I'm going to trust my Father. He's the one who got the provision. I say amen right there. Amen. Here we are on this pinnacle and the devil says leap down and see if God will protect you. Rather than believe the devil, he's going to trust his Father. He's not going to tempt God to go above and beyond what God had promised. He's going to stand on the promises of God. Amen. We can do that as well. Our shield of faith is still able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen. Amen. That's what Ephesians chapter 6 says. It says the shield of faith above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Notice this. Above all, most important, have that shield of faith. Wherewith ye shall be able. Amen. Amen. We are able to quench all the fiery darts. When we say, well, the devil made me do it, we're giving the devil more credit than he deserves. And the reason we're doing that is because we're trying to take the responsibility away from ourselves and place it on the devil. Amen. That's right. Well, you could chase that rabbit a million miles, but let me just go on back to my text. Our Lord used that shield to deflect all the fiery darts of the wicked, and we can do the same. And our Lord used that sword continually. Amen. He used it in all three temptations, that sword. You know why? Because it worked on the first and it worked on the second and it would work on the third. Amen. Thank God the Word of God still works. Amen. And we have that same Word of God that our Lord's quoting. Amen. Our Lord said, answer to the devil all three times with, it is written. Not, I think it says, this is what my preacher says, amen. This is what our church believes, this is what mama, grandma taught me. No, this is what God said. That's what makes it important, amen. Standing on the Word of God, amen. Amen. These things are powers which the devil and his forces cannot overcome, amen. Amen. So I think about how this temptation comes to God's children. Number two, I want you to think about how, think about Christ's rebuke of Satan, what he said to him in verse number 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Amen. With this third temptation, it's as if Christ has heard enough out of this devil. Amen. Every suggestion the devil has brought to him has been evil. And that's exactly what he'll do. He'll make you think he's trying to be friendly. He'll make you think he's out for your good. Every suggestion he has a barb. Amen. It's a bait with a hook somewhere. Amen. Every single one is. And so Christ had heard enough out of Satan. He is through with this exchange. Don't talk to me anymore, devil. That's what he said. Get thee hence. I don't want to hear anymore. I don't want to hear it. Amen. He rebukes Satan so harshly and sends him on his way. Amen. Can I say that is exemplary to you and I? There's an example we can learn from that. There's a time to quit arguing with people. Amen. Amen. When you realize that something or someone only intends your destruction, only intends to tempt you towards evil and towards wickedness, you ought to cease having patience with it. There's a time to say, I'm not listening anymore. There's a time to say, I don't want to hear that. Get out of my way. Get out of my sight. Amen. Cease having patience with them and quickly send them on their way. Amen. Amen. I gave the illustration a couple of years ago, when we had two young men knock on our door that were Mormons, and they came and they were friendly, and I don't try just to be ugly and ill to people like that. I don't think you're doing any good. Matter of fact, we ought to be trying to win them. They're trying to win us their false doctrine. We ought to try to win them to the real thing. I'm not going to invite them in my house and make friends and small talk and all that. But I stepped out on the porch with them. And at first I just stood at the door and the fellow said, one of them first, he said, we're here from, I don't remember if he said from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I don't remember exactly how he said it, but I recognized what they were. And he said, we're here just want to talk with people about religious things. And I said, yes, sir, I understand that. But I said, I'm not interested. And I said, I don't remember if I told him I was a Baptist preacher. I don't remember on that. But as I talked with him, I tried to be nice to him. He said, well, would you let us have prayer with you? Since you're a religious person, would you let us have prayer with you? And I said, no, sir. I don't think so. And then I stepped on out on the porch and he said, you don't believe in prayer? I said, I do believe in prayer. But I said, if I have prayer with you and let you, I pray for you and you pray for me. And I said, I'm going to be praying for you fellas. But if I say, here's a need I have, and I want you to pray with me about this need, then I'm giving validity to your prayers that I don't believe have any validity. Because there's only one way to get prayer answered, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not coming through another religion, not coming through another doctrine. You've got to believe Christ. You've got to know it. You've got to be born again. Amen. By the blood of Jesus Christ, you come through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I tried to explain that to them, they didn't seem to understand, but they went on their way. But here's my point. I lost patience with them when I realized they're just trying to slip in an easy way to and get out here where everybody can see us, and we're all in agreement together. I remember a woman back in North Carolina, she was telling us about some of them, and I don't remember now if it was Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses. I think it's Jehovah's Witnesses. We had a bunch of them there that would come. And she said, she told him, she said, I'm not interested in your doctrine, but there's a family right down yonder that don't go to church, so they might be interested. Now, God help, that's not the way to, that's not helping that family nor these people that are peddling their false doctrine. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Best thing to do in that case is say, I'm not interested. And if they persist, then you just say, listen, I've heard enough. I'm not interested anymore. Amen. Be like the old man my dad was painting for a fellow one time, Mr. Church, he was a deacon at the church my dad got saved in, and Mr. Church couldn't read, and these fellows came up and they were Jehovah's Witnesses, and they were talking with him, and he told him, he said, I'm not interested in that, I don't believe that. I said, I go to church out here, and told him where he went to church, and those fellows said, well, do you mind if we leave, could we leave some tracks? He said, leave all the tracks you want as long as the toes are pointing towards the road. Amen. I don't know if he knew the difference in track with a T on the end of it. Amen, as we learned in the Bible Echoes. Amen. But, Amen. Our Lord rebuked the devil in no uncertain terms. He says, I'm not going to listen to it anymore. And it's an example to us. There comes a time, the Bible says after the second and third admonition. Matter of fact, turn there if you will to Titus chapter number 3. I'll show you that right in the scripture. Titus chapter number 3. Even somebody that has been considered a brother, he talks about. If a man's a heretic, after the first and second admonition. I said second and third, but it's first and second admonition. All right. Chapter 3, verse number 10. A man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. He said, there comes a time to say, I'm done. I put it this way in my notes. There comes a time to take the kid gloves off. Amen. To get serious. Actually get indignant. Amen. About sin and temptations. Listen, girls, there are some things that if boys say to you, you ought to slap their face. Amen. Oh, today, man, we can just handle all kinds of talk between the opposite sexes. Matter of fact, we're questioning even if there is such thing as opposite sexes anymore. But I'm not questioning that. Amen. Amen. I said this the other day down there in Mississippi. I said, if you really believe that gender is fluid, it proves that your brain is fluid. Amen. Amen. But there are some things that when people offer you, that it ought to make you incensed. It ought to make you mad to hear them offer such a thing or use such talk. Amen. Amen. There's some things you ought to be careful about. There's a boy that I worked with in the glass factory, and he wasn't saved. He'd tell you he wasn't saved. He was the same age as me. But there's another boy over there got to use some pretty foul language. And here's what old Sam Poteet said this. He said, that boy is handling words in his mouth that I wouldn't hold in my hand. He's talking about him being so filthy. Amen. There's some things that are so filthy, so disgusting, and so vile that it ought to make us angry that somebody would make us such an offer. Amen. Amen. Sometimes you ought to take the kid gloves off. You ought to get indignant with sin and temptation. If we follow our Lord's example, He rebuked Satan to His face. He commanded Satan to depart. Amen. Matter of fact, He did that with Peter. When Peter come up and said, when our Lord's talking about going to Calvary, and Peter said, no, you're not going to do that. Far be it from thee, Lord. Our Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan. He called his friend, one of the inner circle, one of the three. He called him the devil. He called him Satan. You know why? Because he knew who it was talking. He wasn't relishing the things that be of God. That's what he said. You're relishing the things that be of man. You're doing what the devil does. You're opposing Because you've got your own selfish interest involved, is what he's saying there. Amen. And so he said, get thee behind me, Satan, which is exactly what he said to Satan in this temptation according to Luke. Luke, turn over there if you will, in Luke chapter number 4, real quickly. Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 8. Luke gives this account, and of course I mentioned that his timing is different. He places them in a different placement, but he gives us the same thing, sometimes a little bit more information. In Luke chapter number 4, and let's just start reading verse number 6. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them. Here's the phrase that's not in Matthew. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Look at verse 8. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Amen. So our Lord said to Peter the exact same thing that he said to Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. I believe there's some good conclusions we can draw from that. Our Lord doesn't care even if it's a friend that's offering the wrong advice. He says, I'm not taking that. Get that away from me. Amen. He saw through it. He saw what it was. Because, matter of fact, Paul said, if it's an angel, or if it's any other creature, Paul said, even if it's another apostle, even if it's me that's preaching another gospel, let him be accursed. What Paul's saying there is, the devil may very well approach as a friend, but he's not friendly.
Right.
Amen. And so he said, Christ said, get thee behind me. Amen. I read that idea, get thee behind me, as saying, get out of my way. I'm going straight ahead. You're not stopping me. So you get behind me. That's one of the aspects, the way I look at that. Our Lord's saying, by the way, you remember when, was it Jehu? Is one of them men that was going and was attacking, I believe it was Jehu, when he's going and attacking Ahab's house, and some of them come right up and said, do you come in peace? He said, what hast thou to do with peace? Get behind me. Amen. And he goes on another and says, are you coming in peace? He said, what have you to do with peace? Get behind me. The idea is get out of my way or get run over. Amen. That's what our Lord's saying to the devil. He's saying, get out of my way. I'm going God's way. And if you don't get out of my way, I'll march right over you if I have to. I'm going God's way. Amen. That's the way we ought to have. That's what he's saying to Peter. Amen. He's saying, get out of my sight, devil. Amen. Get out from front of me. Get out of my face. That's the way we'd say it, maybe. Get out of my face. Get out of my sight. Amen. Not going to allow you to hinder me anymore. I'm getting about my Father's business. Amen. Now, I say this, just a note here, and I'll get ready to move on to my next point in a moment. But there might be some that question the difference in what Luke said, that our Lord said, and what Matthew said. Luke said, he said, get thee behind me. Matthew said, he said, get thee hence. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. Now, I don't think there's an error in the reporting, neither do I think there's a contradiction in these two statements. Amen. First of all, the wording is different. Amen. But the emotion and the intention is the same. Amen. In both cases, Christ is seen to unequivocally reject the proposal. And in both cases, he demands Satan's removal. Amen. Amen. Obvious to me that Christ is angry with the tempter. There's a time for anger to rise up. When our Lord was suggested that he dishonor his Father's name by bowing to worship the devil, it made Christ angry. When he came into his Father's house and saw they were dishonoring his Father's house, it made Christ angry. You know what he did? He run them out.
Right.
He said, get out of here. Get out of my face. Get out of my sight. Amen. Because of his anger. Amen. He was angry at both the tempter and the audacity of the temptation.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He abhorred the offer and the one that made the offer. Amen. Amen. Well, I thought about this. You don't see our Lord standing and pondering what the devil said. Well, let me think about that a while. Let me weigh all this out. No, he immediately rejected it. Amen. Amen. He immediately, indignantly rejected this offer. And we should respond in similar fashion. Amen. We should respond in the same way. No need to roll over the devil's offer in your mind. Amen. No need to sleep on it and think on it. Amen. No need to come back with an answer later. No, there's a time to quickly and decisively reject the offer of the devil. Amen. Amen. One writer said this. I thought it's pretty good. He said, if a venomous serpent were to bite you, you wouldn't think on it. You would immediately react. You would detach that serpent. You would destroy that serpent. Amen. You would destroy that serpent, and you'd do your best to get that. You'd slice it if you had to. Suck the venom out. Amen. You'd put something on it. You'd try to get an antidote for the venom. I'm telling you, when the devil comes and tries his best to attach to you, don't think about it. Reject it. Amen. Destroy it. Throw it down and run for the antidote. Amen. Which is the Word of God. That's what our Lord did in this case. I thought it good. Amen. So we ought to be careful. Ought to be careful about how the devil will get us. He'll try to get us to hurry on some things and slow down on others. He'll try to get us to hurry out to be rich, to hurry up to be famous, to hurry up to be, exalted among men. That's what he did to our Lord. Hurry that up, but slow down about these other things, he'd say. Amen. Well, be careful to be hasty in refusing the devil's offers. Number three, I talked about, think about how these things come to God's children, and think about our Lord's answer. Number three, I want you to think about our Lord's quotation of Scripture. Christ's quotation of Scripture. Verse number 10, he then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, and here's the quote, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Amen. Even though Christ had gotten angry, even though Christ was tired, fed up, we'd say, with those diabolical tactics of the enemy, those tricks and shenanigans of the enemy, and even though Satan had twisted the Scripture in the time before, Christ still resorts to his trusty, faithful weapon, which is the Word of God. Amen. I've heard men say this. I've heard preachers say it, and I've heard dad say this. You just do that because it's what I said. No, that's not really good enough. I mean, in a sense it is. I'm not diminishing the authority of the dad, for example. But we ought to revert to the Word of God. Why should children obey their parents? Because the Bible tells us that. Amen. Why should we have standards? Because the Bible tells us those. It's not just, well, this is what I believe, and so you ought to line up with it. Sometimes men just get indignant. Brother Bell mentioned about how that some men that have stood in this pulpit have looked at that Scripture there, and some will dogmatically say, this is what happened. Some will dogmatically say, no, it didn't. This is what happened. And I've seen men get incensed, and be honest with you, I was shocked at how incensed that this one particular that I'm thinking about now got, because he felt like there might be questions about what he had declared to be there that wasn't there. Right. Amen. That wasn't clear. I'll have to say that. It wasn't clearly there. Amen. But he dogmatically declared it. I remember a preacher back in North Carolina said he was preaching about Thomas, doubting Thomas. He said, you know why Thomas doubted? Because when our Lord sent those disciples out two by two, well, why Thomas wasn't there, why he was absent that night when our Lord appeared, he said when our Lord sent them out two by two, Thomas's partner was always Judas. He said, you say, preacher, you can't dogmatically say that his partner was Judas. He said, I'm preaching this sermon so I can dogmatically say. Well, it's not in the Bible. He did send them out two by two, but we don't know who was Judas's partner. Amen. Hey, maybe it was Thomas. Amen. Maybe it was. I don't know. And it worked for his, like I said, I don't know if that's true or not, but it makes good preaching. That's what they say. Well, for it really to be good preaching, we need some Bible for it. So even though our Lord was indignant, He had Bible for it. Amen. Even though our Lord got angry, He had Bible for it. That's the point I'm making. We ought to always go back to the Scripture. All our standing ought to be on the Word of God. Amen. So our Lord goes back to His quotation of this book of God. Amen. Amen. He rebukes Satan. He tells him to leave. And as he's going out, he says, I've got a verse for you. Amen. As he's leaving, as Satan is departing, our Lord does not want him to depart empty-handed or empty-headed. He wants him to depart with a verse of Scripture. Amen. Here's the Scripture. He said, for it is written. This is why I want you to get out of my way. This is why I'm not going to bow to you, because this is what God said. So he throws him out a verse of Scripture. Amen. And he quotes this verse. By the way, it's actually, I believe it's a portion of two different verses found in the book of Deuteronomy. If you want to turn back there, I'll show you both of these and we'll compare it. Matthew chapter 4, we'll be back to Matthew 4 in a moment. But Deuteronomy, it's interesting that our Lord quoted all of His quotes in this wilderness experience out of the book of Deuteronomy, which was given to Israel while they were in the wilderness. Amen. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 13 is the first quote that I believe our Lord's drawing from. Deuteronomy 6:13. If you're there, Deuteronomy 6:13, the Bible says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him and shalt swear by His name. So He's saying you're fearing thy God and you're serving Him and swearing by His name. Look at chapter number 10 and verse number 20. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 20. Almost verbatim, although it has a little bit more. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, Him shalt thou serve. And to Him shalt thou cleave and swear by His name. Amen. Now here's what I thought about the quote that our Lord gave. It's interesting that He uses the word fear. Our Lord calls it worship. I'll say more about that tonight, Lord willing. We'll come back and look at this quote a little bit more tonight, but I want to get you prepared for that. But when our Lord says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and Him only shalt thou, or thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and Him only shalt thou serve, Deuteronomy said, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him and swear by His name. The idea there is there's no other name worthy of your service. There's no other name worthy of you dedicating your life to and you living by. Amen. So it is saying worship God only. Him only is the idea there. Amen. But when our Lord said that to the devil, He wasn't saying, oh, by the way, devil, you're supposed to be worshiping God. By the way, devil, you're supposed to be serving God. I don't believe our Lord was sending that message to the devil. Because the devil's reprobate. The devil has fallen from his height. If you want to say apostate, that's what he is. Now, he was never saved, and we understand an apostate's not somebody who was saved and lost it. It's somebody that has had a knowledge and a recognition and has seemed to follow, but they go back to the old way, referencing the fact they never had the goods to start with. Amen. And so our Lord was not declaring that message dogmatically to the devil, saying, that's what you're supposed to be doing. That's not what He's saying, because He knew the devil had no intention of worshiping God and absolutely no intention of serving God. The devil's a reprobate. Amen. But I believe the answer, this answer that He gave, completely shuts the door. This is why I'm not going your way, devil, because I'm going to serve my God. I'm going to worship my God. I'm going to fear my God. Amen. You may not live by the Scriptures, He's saying, but I'm going to live by these Scriptures. Amen. That ought to be implanted in us so strongly. Whether or not anybody else lives by the Scriptures, we ought to say, as far as I'm concerned, that's the way I'm going. Amen. And so he shuts that door to the temptation, allowing no opening for reconsideration, no opening for question. Amen. And again, that's how we ought to answer when sin comes. An unequivocal no. Amen. Not thinking about it. Just a rejection and a staunch no. Amen. Stating it positively, leaving no room for consideration. Amen. Well, I'll think about it, but I don't think I will right now. No. No, I'm not going to consider it now, and I'm not going to consider it later. Amen. That's the idea that we have. So our Lord positively stated that He will bow to no one but God. He will worship no one but God. He will serve no one but God. Amen. You say, preacher, what does that have to do with us? Listen, down through history, since the days of Christ, there have been martyr after martyr after martyr that willingly had their head chopped off. They were willing to lose their head. They were willing to lose their life. But they were not willing to bow the knee to somebody besides Jesus. Amen. Matter of fact, in the Revolutionary War, they said some of our great patriots of the past would have had a slogan, and they would say, "No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus." I say, amen. We need that again resounding across America. Amen. I'm not going to bow my knee to a man. I'm not going to bow my knee to some other deity. Amen. The Muslims say submit. By the way, they say Islam means peace. It doesn't mean peace. It means submission. It's very obvious it don't mean peace. Amen. We say hold your peace. It's similar to we'd say hold your tongue. Don't say them. They say hold your head. They just chop your head off. Amen. That's peace to them. But it's not peace. But I'm telling you, we don't never submit to their false doctrine. Amen. We'll never submit to their leadership in the wrong direction. In other words, we will bow to no one but God. We will worship no one but God. We will serve no one but God. That's what Jesus said, and that's the way we ought to be. Amen. And so Satan then was defeated. And he can be defeated now if we'll just make up our mind whom we're going to serve. Amen. He can be defeated if we'll just refuse to worship anyone or anything else. We refuse to serve anyone or anything else but God. Amen. Amen. Well, think about this. Look at this sight. Our Lord standing victorious. The devil's on the run, and our Lord's still standing unscathed. Think back to the garden where Adam faced the devil and fell. But the last Adam faced the devil and stood. Stood his ground. So in Adam, all sin and all die. But in Christ, whosoever will may be forgiven. Whosoever will may be victorious in Christ. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. You're thinking about the fact that Christ won the battle in the temptation in the wilderness. He won the victory, not just for Himself, but for you and I. Amen. Christ not only defeated Satan, but He is allowing us to have part of that same victory. We can be free from Satan. Free from the bondage that sin clamps down upon us if we'll come to Christ. I'm asking the question, have you ever experienced that salvation? Have you ever experienced that free offer of grace through our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you need to come pray? Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the truth that we find here. Lord, as we've studied this, I've not preached anything new or something super enthusiastic. But Lord, when we think about the fact that our Savior stood, oh Lord, help us rejoice in that. That although Adam fell and although men fall, one after another, after another, after another, thank God one man didn't fall. The man Christ Jesus. He stood His ground, and through Him, and only through Him, can we stand ours. Only through Him can we have the victory. Only through Him can we have salvation. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank You, Lord. I pray You do it for others this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing. As we sing, if you need to come, would you obey the Lord and come if you need to?
154.